you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 20 and verse 5, a word for 4th of July weekend, Psalm chapter 20 and verse 5. David says, "We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests." And let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, and we just thank you, Lord, for this country, 248 years worth. And I pray, Lord, you would teach us this morning from your word and from the Star-Spangled Banner what it is we need to do in order for that blessing to continue. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last May the 26th, the children's choir from the Greenville Christian School in Greenville, South Carolina, was scheduled to sing the national anthem in Statuary Hall in the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C., with the full permission of the Speaker of the House and three representatives from South Carolina. Something that was going to be a memory for those young people for the rest of their lives. But then right after they started singing, when they got to the end of the second verse, that happened.
I'm going to show you some video here of the Rushing Brook Children's Choir in D.C. last month. They sound great. The director tells us a group of 15 kids were singing the national anthem when they were approached by Capitol Police and told to stop.
Capitol Hill Police walked over, told the choir director to shut it down because what they were doing was considered an illegal demonstration and protest that could have incited a riot. Christian kids from a Christian school singing the national anthem. It's a wonder they didn't go all Ashley Babbitt on them or lock them up with the Jan Sixers for being domestic terrorists. And sadly enough, what happened to those kids is just one more example of what more and more people think about this country and the national anthem that represents it. Well, what is the national anthem? And what does it really represent? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us. We turn today to Psalm chapter 20 and verse 5. In this part of Psalm chapter 20, David tells us that we need to sing and shout for joy when God gives us the victory. And in our text today, David says besides the singing, we also need to lift up our flags and banners in the name of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today on 4th of July weekend, the song that we need to sing and the banner that we need to lift up is the Star-Spangled Banner. That starts with what? Oh, say, can you see? Our text this morning, Psalm chapter 20, verse 5, tells us three things that we need to see when we look at the Star-Spangled Banner so that we can have victory in Jesus Christ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to see when we look at the Star-Spangled Banner, we need to see the miracle. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 5. Because too many people do not have a clue the miracle the Star-Spangled Banner really is. National anthem is played over 5,000 times every year in America for everything from baseball to soccer and everything in between. But how many people are on their phone while it's being played? National anthem is just everybody's last chance to hit the head or get another beer before the game starts. 2 out of 3 Americans do not know the first verse of the national anthem. 90% of Americans don't even know there is more than one verse in the national anthem. It's not Baby Shark or Macarena or YMCA by the Village People, folks. There really is something special about that song, the Star-Spangled Banner. The national anthem is called the Star-Spangled Banner because it's all about the American flag. And early America had a lot of different flags. During the French and Indian War, they used a flag with a rattlesnake on it because just like a rattlesnake, America is not dangerous unless it's attacked. Rattlesnake cut up into pieces with the words join or die, meaning Americans had to come together and fight the enemy or they would never survive. 1765, the Sons of Liberty used a flag called the Rebellious Stripes, named after the 9 original patriots who started that group that fought the Stamp Act and pulled off the Boston Tea Party. 9 white and red stripes, 9 the red representing the blood of Jesus, the white representing the righteousness we get when we trust the blood of Jesus. Amen. The Gadsden flag, designed by Christopher Gadsden in 1775, again with the rattlesnake and the words, don't tread on me. The appeal to heaven flag, with a white pine tree standing for the tree of liberty. And the words from John Locke in 1690 that said, when government gets so tyrannical, it cannot be redeemed. You've got to fight against it and appeal to heaven because it's only God who can give you victory in that. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. The very first flag used by the Continental Army was called the Grand Union. Red and white stripes taken from the flag of the British East India Tea Company, plus the British flag, the Union Jack, in the upper left-hand corner. Then 1776, a founding father named Francis Hopkins took those red and white stripes and added to it George Washington's battle flag that he used in the field, a blue background with white stars on it in the upper left-hand corner. Then he gave the whole thing to Betsy Ross in Philadelphia, who went to the same church that him and George Washington did. And that's what she finally came up with. 13 red and white stripes representing the 13 original colonies and 13 stars representing the 13 original colonies. And she used five-pointed stars instead of six-pointed stars because she said five-pointed stars were a lot easier to make. So that's what she came up with. June 14, 1777 was the original flag day. Continental Congress officially approved that design as the official flag of the United States of America. Now, 1818, they started adding another stripe for every state that came along. Till they realized the flag was going to be too ginormous. Then they just added another star instead. And since 1960, there's been 50 stars on that flag. People, that is the banner that we raise up in the name of the Lord. That is the American flag based on God and all kinds of things from the Bible. The Star-Spangled Banner is a miracle. The United States of America is a miracle. Because from the very start, over and over again throughout our history, God reached down and saved this country. August 29, 1776, the British had George Washington and his Continental Army trapped on the end of Long Island in New York. And they were moving in for the kill, ready to end the Revolutionary War right then and there. But then amazingly, miraculously, a fog settled over all of Long Island and gave George Washington the chance to evacuate his entire army across the East River and live to fight another day. September 17, 1862, Robert E. Lee's drive through Maryland. One of his officers accidentally dropped on the ground a copy of the Confederate plans for the Battle of Antietam and all their troop movements, wrapped around three cigars. And amazingly, miraculously, a Union soldier found it, and because of that, the South lost 13,467 men at the Battle of Antietam and never really recovered. May 3, 1863, in the confusion of the Battle of Chancellorsville, a Confederate picket, amazingly, miraculously, accidentally shot Confederate General Stonewall Jackson, the greatest field commander that the South ever had. He died of pneumonia 10 days later, and because of that, he was not there to lead the charge at the Battle of Gettysburg 2 months later. And the South was finished. June 1942, Battle of Midway in the South Pacific, amazingly, miraculously, right before that battle started, the Japanese air commander got an appendicitis attack. And the Japanese officer who planned the entire attack for Japan was out with pneumonia. So the Japanese lost 4 aircraft carriers, 331 planes. America won the Battle of Midway and never stopped island hopping till Japan surrendered August 1945. I could go on and on and on. The United States of America is an absolute miracle of God. Our very existence. Star-Spangled Banner is a miracle too. The British were so ticked off about losing the Revolutionary War, they wanted to prove to the entire world that they really were the better country. So 1801, they started picking a fight with America by capturing American ships and American sailors on the high seas. And after 11 years, it got so bad, even though America only had 6 ships in its navy and a joke of an army, America declared war on Great Britain again, the War of 1812. And for the first 2 years, it was a cakewalk for the British. Summer of 1814 was one of the darkest moments in our nation's history. July 25th, the Battle of Lundy's Lane near Niagara Falls, the British had an absolute bloodbath of a victory. August 12th, the United States lost 2 warships, 1/3 of its entire navy. And 2 weeks later, the British waltzed into Washington, D.C., sure as you please, and set fire to the White House and the Capitol building and the Library of Congress. People, this nation was literally hanging by a thread. And then for the final knockout punch, September of 1814, the British marched to Baltimore to destroy that city because Baltimore was the third most populous city in America at that time. But to take the city of Baltimore, the British first of all had to take Fort McHenry that guarded the entrance to Baltimore Harbor. It was under the command of English Colonel William Armistead. And a year before this, William Armistead found a lady named Mary Pickersgill to make 2 huge flags for that fort. One of them, a 30 by 42 foot flag that was so monstrous, it took 11 soldiers to raise that thing up, the 90 foot flagpole. And also a smaller 17 by 25 foot flag called the storm flag. It was put up in stormy weather because if the first flag got wet, it would snap that flagpole in half. And while the British were scouting out the city of Baltimore before the attack, they arrested an American doctor named William Bean for spying and put him on a British ship in jail called the HMS Tun till they could hang him. But then a bunch of his friends got together and hired a 33-year-old lawyer named Francis Scott Key to come and represent him for the British and arrange a prisoner exchange. September the 12th, 1814, the British agreed to let Dr. William Bean go. But because the British were going to be attacking the fort the very next day, they put both the doctor and Francis Scott Key on another British ship about 2 miles away from Fort McHenry because they didn't want word to leak out. Then 5 a.m. on September the 13th, 1814, the British anchored 19 warships a quarter of a mile outside the range of the American cannon and unleashed hell with newfangled rockets that fired in a high arc and then exploded in the air, sending shrapnel ripping through everything in sight. The rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air. All morning, all afternoon, and all through the night. And every God-fearing American was praying like crazy that God would do something, something to save the fort and help the country survive. And then what do you know? The night of September the 13th was supposed to be a full moon, which meant the British were going to have clear aim at everything they were gunning for. So it was going to be a turkey shoot. But then amazingly, miraculously, a storm came up like right out of nowhere and clouds covered up the moon. So every rocket the British fired was just a shot in the dark. And then amazingly, miraculously, it also started pouring down rain, which meant the British cannonballs that were supposed to hit and skip around and do even more damage just hit and then got stuck in the mud. But in spite of all of that, a lot of the shrapnel and the cannonballs still got through, and the damage to the fort and the Americans trying to defend it was absolutely hellacious. And there was Dr. William Bean and Francis Scott Key all night long straining at the rails of that ship, using every flash of the storm and every explosion of the rocket to see something about that fort. Was that fort still there? Because if Fort McHenry fell, America was toast. The American Revolution was all for nothing. American independence was down the drain, and they were all going to be hung. You talk about a dark night of the soul. Every second of every minute of every hour wondering, was the flag still there? Was the flag still there? Because if the flag was still there, Fort McHenry was still in American hands and America could survive. And then all of a sudden, 6 a.m. on the morning of September the 14th, right before dawn, 25 hours after it started, all the bombing stopped. And the sun started to come up. And Francis Scott Key was crawling out of his skin because through the gloaming he could see the fort and he could see that there was a flag above the fort, but he didn't know was it a British flag or was it an American flag. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. The rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. But what about that morning? And finally, Francis Scott Key found a telescope and he started looking. And he saw that the Continental soldiers in that fort, because it had stopped raining, they raised a huge, humongous 30 by 42 foot American flag over that fort. So Francis Scott Key could see the flag was still there. The flag was still there. Fort McHenry had not fallen. And he grabbed a letter out of his pocket and on the back he started writing words to a poem he called The Defense of Fort McHenry. Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam in full glory reflected, now shines in the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner, oh long may it wave, o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. The British failed to take that fort. They up and left. They went down to New Orleans. 5 months later, the War of 1812 was over and the Americans had won again. October of 1814, Francis Scott Key's words were put to music and it was a song called The Star-Spangled Banner. 1896, the United States military started playing the Star-Spangled Banner during military celebrations. 1916, President Woodrow Wilson started ordering the Star-Spangled Banner to be played during military ceremonies. 1918, the Chicago Cubs and the Boston Red Sox played the Star-Spangled Banner for the seventh inning stretch in the World Series that year. Finally, Herbert Hoover, 1931, signed a bill making the Star-Spangled Banner the official national anthem of the United States. The Star-Spangled Banner is a miracle, people, a miracle of God who hath made us and preserved us a nation. Amen. And now you know the rest of the story. First thing that we need to see when we look at the Star-Spangled Banner, we need to see the miracle. We go on this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to see when we look at the Star Spangled Banner. We not only need to see the miracle, we also need to see the spiritual battle. And we also see that in verse 5. Because every single thing about the Star Spangled Banner and our national anthem today and the flag is under attack from every side. If you grew up when I did, when TV wasn't on 24/7, every night at midnight, when the network signed off, you saw that. And that taught generations of Americans how to sing the national anthem. It taught generations of Americans to love their flag and to love their country, the national anthem. But today, that's all gone the way of the pet rock. Because see, now the national anthem is racist. Third verse of the national anthem has the word slave in it. And Francis Scott Key owned slaves. Triple word score. National anthem is racist. And for the last 4 years, the left has gone all DEFCON 1, destroying Francis Scott Key monuments all over the United States. See what they did to the monument to Francis Scott Key in Baltimore where the Star Spangled Banner was written? Spray painted it with red to look like blood. Spray painted the word slave owner and racist anthem. The funny thing is, for 210 years, nobody in this country thought the national anthem was racist at all. Till 2020, when a drug-addicted ex-con named George Floyd OD'd on crank and had a grabber in the presence of some white policemen. Then everybody got a revelation that the American flag was really the swastika. Isn't that amazing how that happened? We see that spiritual battle for the flag going on all over the place. It started several years ago. Colin Kaepernick taught millions of Americans to disrespect the flag and the national anthem by taking a knee instead of standing up when the national anthem's being played. And he claimed he did that to protest the thousands and thousands of black men who are being killed on the streets of America by white cops every single year. Which is an absolute joke because of the 1,611 people shot and killed by cops in America last year, only 338 of them were black. Only 21% of all people shot and killed by police every year in America are black Americans. A white cop in America is 17 times more likely to be killed by a black man than a black man is to be killed by a white cop. I could go on and on. And Colin Kaepernick swore up and down, oh, he wasn't disrespecting U.S. military soldiers who fought and died for that flag. Yes, he was. Like that soldier. Zachary Stinson. 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines. Southern Helmand Province in Afghanistan. An IED blew off both of his legs just below the waist and part of his hand. And yet to this day, when Zachary Stinson hears the national anthem, he stands up in his wheelchair by pushing himself up as far as he can with his arms in his hands. You're listening to the sermon right now. You don't want to stand up for the national anthem. You don't want to stand up for the flag. Then donate your legs to a veteran who lost his fighting for that flag and fighting for your sorry behind. And people today are still disrespecting the flag. U.S. Women's National Woke Lesbian Soccer Team last August refused to sing the words of the national anthem all the while they're at the World Cup. Refused to sing the words of the national anthem right before the start of their second game against Sweden in the second round. And then they went out and lost that game, the earliest exit for a women's soccer team from America in World Cup history. And I don't know one person that wasn't happy. National anthem for white people is racist, so now they say we need a national anthem for black people. That old hymn, Lift Every Voice and Sing. And it's an incredible song. But folks, the reason behind using it is about dividing this country. To make people think that there's two Americas, one for black people, one for white people. So now we need two national anthems, one for black people and one for white people. But see what happened when the NFL played the so-called black national anthem last September? Before the start of a game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions? Hear the crowd? The crowd booed it like crazy. And why? Because they were racist? No, because the crowd realizes there's no such thing as a black national anthem. There's no such thing as a white national anthem. There is only the American national anthem. They played the so-called black national anthem at the Super Bowl last February. There's a picture of Carrie Lake, who got cheated out of being governor of Arizona back in 2020. She refused to stand while it was being played. And thousands of other people in that stadium refused to stand for the so-called black national. A lot of black people included. And folks, the crazy thing is, the vast majority of black people in this country have no problem whatsoever with the national anthem, as it is right now. The ones who are making an issue are the stupid white leftist people who are pushing identity politics claptrap just to feel good about themselves. And why? Because they don't care about the truth. Yes, Francis Scott Key owned slaves, but Francis Scott Key also got incredibly saved by Jesus Christ. And this is what he said about it and what a difference it made. His word all of a sudden truly became a lamp to my feet and a light to my path and shined into my heart the life of the living Christ and changed me into a person like I have never been before with a new awareness of the sinful evil of putting any human being in slavery. And because Francis Scott Key got radically saved by Jesus Christ, he let all of his slaves go except for the very oldest ones that he kept and paid his salary. The oldest ones who couldn't work anymore, because if he'd gotten rid of those, they would have ended up on the street. And Francis Scott Key spent the rest of his life defending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of black slaves who were petitioning for emancipation. He helped get them their freedom. He helped so many black slaves get free. He got the nickname Black Lawyer. And that word slave in the third verse of the national anthem, during the War of 1812, young people, listen to this because you go to college. I guarantee you some woke professor is going to try to use this to convince you that America sucks. During the War of 1812, the British told slaves in the South that if they ran away from their masters and joined the British Army and fought against the Americans, they would give them their freedom. But it was a lie, because the vast majority of the slaves that did run away from their masters just ended up being slaves of the British, because Great Britain didn't outlaw slavery until 1834. So there is absolutely nothing in the third verse of the national anthem that says anything good about slavery or endorses it whatsoever. All that verse is saying is that not even the slaves in America were free from the destruction that the British Army brought on this country during the War of 1812. Do we see the battle that's going on in America? Do we see the battle for truth? Do we see the battle that's going on for the hearts and minds of people in this country with the Star Spangled Banner? And it never quits, because the whining about the national anthem never quits. Oh, it's too long. It's too hard to sing. The original tune comes from a British drinking song. The national anthem should be God Bless America. It should be America the Beautiful. The national anthem should be My Country, 'Tis of Thee. AOC says the national anthem ought to be that John Lennon song, Imagine. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. No borders, no walls, no USA at all. You know what? AOC might be right, because that's exactly what's going on in this country right now. Amen. Folks, do we realize, do we understand how absolutely critical it is that the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, does not change for the sake of the battle? You see that battle in Brazil. 2 years ago, 2022, a conservative president of Brazil named Jair Bolsonaro had a presidential election stolen from him by a communist. Sound familiar? And for months afterwards, people in Brazil took to the streets waving American flags and singing the American national anthem, looking to America for hope. We see it in Israel after the terrorist attacks last October the 7th. Pro-Israeli demonstrations all over the nation of Israel. Jewish people not only waving but wearing American flags. One of the most popular t-shirts in Israel right now is a t-shirt that has the word Jerusalem on it with the three middle letters that spell USA in red, white, and blue. And why? Because America is Israel's biggest ally in the entire world. And because Israel is the only ally America has in the Middle East. We see that American flag used in that battle for freedom in Eastern Europe. Because communism there has never really gone away. Sue and I spoke at a Bible camp in the Czech Republic back in 2005 in Smilovice, and there were some Christian Messianic Jews over in Slovakia across the border who heard that there were Christians from America at that Bible camp. They drove all the way over there to see us and to meet with us, and they fell all over us because we were Christians from America. And they told us they were a part of a ministry in Jerusalem that does nothing. 24/7, 365, except stand at the Western Wall and pray for America and pray that Christians in America would stay faithful to God's word. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said all the while, all the years, he was a political prisoner in the old Soviet Union, in the gulags and prison camps. He heard men in chains, in darkness for the rest of their lives, praying for America. Because they knew with all their hearts, whatever it is America had is the only hope the world had. Do you hear that, Colin Kaepernick? AOC, do you still think America is systemically racist? Don't tell them that. Since 1949, the nation of Taiwan has been politically independent from communist China. But ever since then, the Chi-Coms have been foaming at the mouth, hell-bent on invading Taiwan and taking over and installing communism there too. And because they know that Joe Biden is bought and sold by the Chinese Communist Party and that he's nothing but a cadaver, if the Chi-Coms go ahead and invade Taiwan, Joe Biden probably won't do anything about it, and neither will America. Because of that, 3 weeks ago, the Chinese People's Liberation Army and Navy did joint military exercises and cut off the entire nation of Taiwan. The Straits of Taiwan, they surrounded the entire country. And it was so intense, Taiwan had to scramble their army and their air force in response. People, we were this close. And knowing that China is breathing down their neck and salivating over the prospect of taking over that country, what are the people in Taiwan doing? They are marching in the streets, waving American flags, and singing the American national anthem, looking to America for hope. For 156 years, the city of Hong Kong was a territory controlled by Great Britain until July 1st, 1997. And for some reason, they agreed to turn it over to Communist China starting in 2047. So right now, Hong Kong is still supposed to be free and independent, which is ridiculous because the Chi-Coms are already clamping down on their human rights and civil rights and free speech and trial by jury and open and free elections. And with time running out and that communist noose getting tighter and tighter around their neck, what are the people of Hong Kong doing? Notice, you see on this video, they know that Joe Biden is so weak, they bypassed him. They're appealing to President Donald Trump. They still acknowledge him as the president. You see that on the signs that they're making. See what the people of Hong Kong are doing?
Sacrifice us through the perilous fight.
They're looking to America for hope because they do not want to be slaves to communism. People all over the world waving the American flag protesting communism. Here in America, we're burning the American flag protesting for communism. People all over the world singing the U.S. nationalist, the new U.S. national anthem in the streets because they want to be free. Christians in America won't even sing the national anthem in their churches because they want to be inclusive. My God, people, you talk about deceit and at absolutely the worst possible time. That battle for freedom is not only here in America, it's all over the world. Because God created people to be free and created government to protect that freedom, not take it away. And throughout the history of this world, no country has ever preserved freedom like the United States of America until now. Since the Declaration of Independence, the entire world has looked to America for hope. Thomas Jefferson said in his second inaugural address, America is the world's best hope. Abraham Lincoln said in 1862, America is the last best hope on earth. Folks, people all over the world realize that. For the love of God, why don't people in America realize that? The American flag is the official flag of the United States of America. The Star Spangled Banner is the official national anthem of the United States of America. And if you're listening to this sermon and you don't like that and you want to fight and battle against that, get over it. And then start thanking God for it. The second thing we need to see when we look at the Star-Spangled Banner, we need to see the spiritual battle. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to see when we look at the Star-Spangled Banner. We not only need to see the miracle, we not only need to see the spiritual battle. Third, we need to see the victory in that battle. And that's also what we see here in verse 5. We use that American flag to honor U.S. soldiers who fight and die for that freedom.
That's right.
We put flags on their caskets. We give those flags to the soldiers' families.
This is a special flag because it's filled with love from all of your family. I would like to present this flag to you as a token of appreciation for the sacrifice that your father made to this great nation and all Americans.
This woman cries as she lays her head on this casket. Families come together to hug one another. This family here gathers to finally touch this casket for what will be one of a few last times.
If you don't stand for the flag, it's because you've never been handed a folded one.
Amen.
Because that flag represents the blood and the suffering and the sacrifice that it takes. Because freedom isn't free, and neither is victory. And holy rockets, red glare, people, do we ever need that victory now? 10 million illegal aliens in America right now because of Joe Biden's open border policies. And they're not honoring our flag. They're bringing their own flags with them. And burning ours and screaming, death to America. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 43, the foreigner in your country will get more and more powerful and you will get weaker and weaker. That is exactly what's happening in America right now. For the high holy month of pride, the city of St. Petersburg, Florida, took an intersection, 25th and Central, right where the gayborhood starts in St. Petersburg, and painted it in the colors of the pride flag and in the colors of the trans pride flag. But then last May the 22nd, a 17-year-old kid named Christian Meyer went to that intersection and did that. See at the top of the screen. Did all kinds of donuts and burnouts and left skid marks on that pride mural that was painted on the street. And just last Monday, he was charged with felony mischief. They charged that kid with a felony. And now he's looking at 5 years in prison. Are you kidding me? You talk about tyranny. You trash an American flag. Eh, that's your constitutional right. But you trash a pride flag. Oh my goodness, that's a hate crime. We gotta hang him high. Remember the picture? U.S. Marines finally able to raise the flag over Mount Suribachi after going through the hell of the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II, the most iconic picture in the history of this country. Now get a load of that. Some gay guys who think they're just as brave raising the pride flag that celebrates sodomy and glorifies everything that's an abomination to God. You talk about sacrilege. You don't think flags mean something? Here's our pride flag here at Fox River. Every month is Pride Month here at Fox River because we fly that flag all the time, no matter what month it is.
Amen.
You fly an American flag today, people don't think you're patriotic. People don't think you love your country. People think you're a MAGA extremist and you're an enemy of the state. The FBI right now is going after every church in this country that flies an alternate flag, like the Gadsden flag or the Appeal to Heaven or the Betsy Ross flag. We got Betsy Ross hanging out in our parking lot right now. You don't think America's under the judgment of God? Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for doing the exact same things that America just got done doing for 30 days of Pride Month? Adolf Hitler killed 6 million Jews in World War II, but that's just chump change compared to the 69,873,411 babies killed by abortion since 1973. You don't think America deserves the judgment of God? Joe Biden is bought and sold by the Chinese Communist Party. He's been a Chinese asset in our government for decades now. Last November, he had a summit meeting with Chi Com President Xi in San Francisco. And did you see the picture of the United States Marine forced to hold the flag of Communist China that has sworn to our destruction and is hell-bent on destroying the United States of America? The media tried to bleep out all those pictures. That one got through. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45, the Lord will cause you to be destroyed by your enemies. It's happening right in front of our very eyes. Remember the container ship that crashed into the pylon video and took out that bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, Baltimore, where the Star Spangled Banner was written? What was the name of that bridge? The Francis Scott Key Bridge, the name of the person who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. You don't think there's a spiritual battle going on? You don't think we need victory? You don't think America's paying the price right now for not standing up for what that flag and that national anthem stands for? Folks, we need a victory. We've got to have that victory. We've got to fight for it.
Amen.
Last May the 23rd, high school girls regional softball game championship in Richmond, Virginia. The PA announced to the crowd they didn't have time to play the national anthem. So then that happened.
Due to technical difficulties, we will not be playing the national anthem. Let's play ball.
PA announcer said they wouldn't do it. The crowd got up and sang it anyway, by themselves. Brent Grimes, Bradenton, Florida, last April. His HOA told him that he couldn't fly American flags from his house anymore because they wanted the neighborhood to be more inviting and more inclusive. So Brent Grimes went to work. 1 month later, he had that. He painted his house to look like the American flag. And when his neighbor saw it, his neighbor liked it so much, he had Brent Grimes paint his house to look like a flag too. Try taking the flags off of that house. You can't. Because the whole house is the flag. Take that. We look at the Star Spangled Banner, we see the victory. Because the American flag reminds us of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. That flag... Next slide. That flag tells us of all the evil that we are dealing with in this spiritual battle right now. Francis Hopkins, who designed the original flag on paper, wanted crosses used to represent the states in the blue field in the upper left-hand corner instead of stars. George Washington wanted six-pointed stars instead of five-pointed stars. He wanted six-pointed stars like the Star of David in the Bible because he thought that America, just like Israel, was founded and led by God. But we all know the American flag ended up with five-pointed stars. Five in the Bible is a number of sin and rebellion and death and judgment. Five-pointed star is called a pentagram. That's a symbol of the occult. Five-pointed star is also a symbol of Spica, the most important star in the constellation Virgo and the symbol for the Masonic Lodge. John Philip Sousa, who made the final musical arrangement for the song The Star-Spangled Banner, was a Mason in the Hiram Lodge in Washington, D.C. Everybody remembers the famous picture, the first human being to walk on the moon, American astronaut Neil Armstrong. There he is in that famous picture standing next to an American flag on the lunar surface. But what most people don't realize, the second human being to walk on the moon, American astronaut Buzz Aldrin, was a Mason. He took a Masonic flag to the moon with him and got a picture of himself standing on the lunar surface with the Masonic flag, a picture that NASA never released to the public. How many stripes are on the flag? 13. 13 in the Bible is the number of the Antichrist and the number of sin and rebellion. The first time the word sinner is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, King James Version. And how many words are there in that verse? 13. And what is the sin that's talked about in that verse? Homosexuality. And how many letters are in that word? 13. What sin and rebellion against God did America just spend an entire month celebrating? Homosexuality. You don't think the flag is showing us the spiritual battle that's going on in this country right now? But the good news is that flag not only shows us the battle, it also shows us the victory. See the blue field in the upper left-hand corner with the white stars in it? Does that remind you of anything? Like maybe some place you want to go when you die? Like heaven? And what's the only way you get to heaven? By having your sin penalty met. Which is why the rest of the cross consists, the rest of the flag consists of what? Stripes. Notice, you got to go through the stripes to get to heaven. And how many stripes are there? 13, the number of the devil who had him put there. But notice, 7 red stripes, 6 white stripes, and not the other way around. Red representing blood and sacrifice. The white representing purity. Notice, there is a red stripe at the top and also a red stripe at the bottom of that flag, which means in order to get to the white, you got to go through the red. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. These are the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. 7 is the number of God. 6 is the number of man. People, could it be that when you look at Old Glory, it's sending the message that there is a God, man, who took the stripes that we deserved on himself and his own body, like 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we are healed. They won't tell you this in school, but I'll tell you in church. When you look at the flag of the United States of America, it shows you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And how many flag stars are on that flag? 50. 50 in the Bible is the number of freedom and liberty. Old Testament law, every 50th year was the Jubilee year, when everything that was lost was returned to the owner, and liberty was proclaimed throughout the land. Amen. The words from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, proclaim liberty throughout the land, are the same words that are inscribed on the Liberty Bell, which is located less than a mile away from where Betsy Ross created the first American flag that to this day still has how many stars on it? 50. Remember all the times the Dems and the leftists wanted to add Puerto Rico or Washington, D.C. as another state, which would have given them 2 more senators and put 2 more stars on the flag. Do you think maybe, just maybe, God had a reason for not letting that happen? Amen. And what are those stars supposed to represent? They represent what happens to us when we do get to heaven. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are covered with the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ will shine forever and ever. Stars and stripes forever, people. You look at the American flag, it not only shows you the battle that we're in, it also shows you the victory in the battle because it shows you the gospel of Jesus Christ. No wonder, no wonder the left is trying to change the American flag 100 ways from Sunday. You don't think the American flag needs to stay exactly the same like it is? And you don't think we should be singing the Star Spangled Banner, especially now more than ever? Because the only hope that we have, the only hope that we have, not only as individual sinners, but also as a nation, is exactly what that flag tells us. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. National anthem of the United States is the only national anthem of any country in the entire world that ends with a question. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Or the land of the free and the home of the brave? And the answer to that question depends on 2 things. First of all, it depends on God, whether or not He's going to be merciful in judgment. The answer to that question also depends on us, whether or not we are going to protect and defend that flag and stand up for what it stands for and act on what it's telling us to do and live it out like Christian American citizens that we are. Amen. Can we do that? Can we stand for the American flag and for the national anthem?
Before we get to that, though, we also have a very special guest sitting down here trackside. You met him out here at the track walk. His name is Gary. He's a special ops man. He's a serviceman. He is a chopper pilot that flew over 20 combat missions before his chopper crashed, and he has been in a wheelchair ever since. Thanks to the folks at the Infinite Hero Foundation, he has been helped out with an exoskeleton, and something that we all take for granted, standing up for the national anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in 7 years, Gary is going to stand up for the national anthem. Captain McKean.
U.S. Army, Rangers, Special Forces, Chopper Pilot Gary Linfoot, paralyzed in a combat mission, hadn't stood up for 7 years. 7 years! But he stood up then. What did he stand up for? He stood up for the flag. He stood up to sing the national anthem. And folks, if he can take the effort to stand up for the national anthem, can we do the same thing? I want everybody in this room right now, stand up exactly where you're at. Stand up. And I'm going to have our two ladies come up, and they're going to join, lead us again in singing the national anthem. This time, we're going to sing it like we really mean it. And we come against every demon power in hell, every spirit of communism, progressivism, leftism, anything that's trying to attack this country, and especially the gospel of Jesus Christ that it was founded on. And we will sing and shout for joy when God gives us the victory. And we will lift up our banners in the name of the Lord. Let's sing it like we do mean it.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watch were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, saved us that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of all brave. And
let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for this country on a 4th of July weekend. And we know, Lord, that the flag, national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, just one of too many institutions that are being attacked right now, trying to destroy it, Lord, as this nation, as it was founded, the principles that it was founded on, the God who put it all together. Just ask and pray that you just make us strong in these last days when it's needed more than ever, Lord, that we would stand up for what that flag stands for. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.